The other thing is that we follow up the series that we come out of God's Greatest Hits and go right back into the questions. And honestly, the question for today was one that was asked, and I felt it was actually the only one I could find. The thing that I find interesting in it is that this was folded like this, and I remember putting the other ones inside of this. And so, me being the magician I am, this is what I found, but nothing else was inside of this. But this is a good question for us to follow up with. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm assuming that when I close this week and open it back up toward the end of the week, the other ones will be there. But this is the one that you obviously wanted me to answer today. That's the way I've looked at this. So I do know that what we're looking at today follows up really well with where we were, especially talking about the victory that Jesus won, and that God had, you know, God's greatest victory of bringing mankind back to Him. I think it then puts things into our hands. So what we're going to look at today is simply this. There's a verse that was listed on here. I'm going to read the verse that was brought in question, but I think I need to answer it. I need to answer it another way. The verse was that it's in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Jesus is answering his disciples, and he mentions faith the size of a mustard seed. The question that was asked of me is, does this faith exist in the world today? Why can we not see faith like this in action anymore? Faith that is within the Bible. So what I have done is essentially just basically taken all the questions that are on here and summed it up into one sermon called, "Where is Our Faith?" Asking one simple question for us to look at today. Where is our faith? So today's text, I want to go to Luke chapter 8. And I want us to look at something today here. Really what I find interesting is that we have talked about this. And I even talked during our faith series. And I talked about Peter getting out of the boat. And that we needed to get out of the boat as Peter got out of the boat. I've covered that prior. We've talked about faith quite a bit. We spent a whole lot of time on it. But I felt like the way that this question is asked is something that we can definitely, definitely go back and review that with, but also answer in a certain way. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, what about faith? Does anyone know? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of things you do not see. The certainty of things hoped for. The assurance of things not seen. There's many different ways to word it. But that is the definition that we apply to faith when it comes biblically. The answer to the question today is, you know, to answer a couple of the small questions within it. Does this faith exist today? Absolutely. It definitely does. But where is our faith? Another question is, can we heal today? Absolutely. But where is our faith? You know, I could sit here and look at it and ask the questions myself. You know, do we have the faith to move mountains today? Yes, but where is our faith? You know, faith doesn't change. And I think that's what we need to take first and foremost to see in this is simply this. Faith does not change, we do. Faith does not change, we do. If we take it and look at it that in that perspective, what we start to realize is that we need to make this question personal. We can't say where is our faith so much as where is your faith? Where is your faith today? That's the question I want to be able to answer by the end of this sermon. And I want you to be able to answer it within your own life by the time that we're done with this. But Luke chapter 8, starting there in verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your house. Lord, I pray that these words today not be mine. Lord, help us to find our faith in the midst of this service. Help us to see what you have for us today. We just lift it up before you now in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus asked a simple question. Jesus asked, Where is your faith? I mean, that's what it says right there, verse 25, in case you missed that part. Jesus asked, Where is your faith? So we're not alone when we have that question arise in our own lives. We're not alone when we have that question arise. The disciples had that question come up. And I believe this is the same question that Jesus would ask each one of us if he were standing right here in the flesh today and looking at us. He would say, Where is your faith? You know, where or what do you put your trust in? Let me put this in some other ways for you this morning. Where or what do you put your trust in? Do you put it in yourself or your career? Maybe your own wisdom and strength. Maybe you put it in your family. Maybe you put it in other people. But where or what do you trust in today? Where do you put your trust? What do you put your trust in? No human being can live without faith in someone or something. I'm just going to throw that out there for you. I need you to understand that today. When we lose the ability to have faith in anything, life becomes pretty miserable. Because if you can't have faith in anything, then you can't have faith that the next breath is going to sustain you. You can't have faith that the next meal is going to provide strength for you. You can't have faith in anything about life if you don't have faith in anything. If someone tells you that they've lost faith in things, I assure you that they still have faith in something. What it is, I don't know. But we have faith. But what is our faith in? The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is not that one has faith and the other does not. We need to understand that today. They both have faith. The difference between the two is the object of their faith. So when we think about Christians versus non-Christians and we apply the word faith, sometimes we misapply that word. It's not that they have a lack of faith. It's that their faith isn't in what your faith is in. Our faith is in what? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in what He's doing in our lives. But for the non-believer, their faith is not in that side. Their faith is not in where our faith is. We could apply it to politics if you want. I'm not trying to get political up here, but I'm saying that Republicans don't believe in the same thing that the Democrats do, but they both have faith in one side or the other, right? It's the same way that Christians and non-Christians are. It's only a good example. I promise you, this is not a political sermon. But what I'm saying is it's the same way that our lives as Christians or non-Christians are. We choose a side. We choose what we put our faith in. You know, one believes in himself and trusts in his or her own efforts, but the Christian may put his or her faith in Jesus Christ and trust in a God that cares for him, a God that provides for her. Think about that today. You know, a Christian life from start to finish truly is a journey of faith. It's a journey of faith. And I want to present to us a couple of things this morning. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we talked about this. We went through the entire chapter, Hebrews 11, and it only took us 9 weeks. So I promise you, we're not going to go through that again this morning. But what I want you to see is that it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists. Now, if you ask me today what the difference why does an atheist even exist? Because an atheist doesn't believe God exists. I'm going to tell you today, an atheist exists to prove God exists, because the fact that they have the choice to say that he doesn't, they have to have something not to believe in. Think about that for a moment. An atheist has to have something to believe against, to not believe in. They tell you that God doesn't exist, then ask them what they really don't believe in. Because if you don't believe in God, why can you say he doesn't exist? Why can you say you don't believe in something if it doesn't exist? That's the only question that I have to ask today for them. But what I have to ask you today is, where is your faith? In what do you put your faith in? It says, faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. First and foremost, the first thing we've got to put our faith and our trust in today is we must put our trust in God. We must put all of our trust in God. We must not put just a little bit here and a little bit there. We must put our trust in God. Today, many people would rather believe the advertisements that they see or the advertisements they hear than believe what the Word of God says. We would rather believe what's out there in the world today than to believe what God is saying in His Word 2,000 years ago that wasn't necessarily written for us. I've heard that argument many times. They would rather believe in the drug peddlers who offer a cure right now, who offer something for the illness that they're battling, rather than to believe the Word of God. And it honestly appears that people are prepared to believe everything they read about in magazines, that they're prepared to believe everything they hear about on the news. They're prepared to believe everything that is told to them by someone other than God. It takes more effort to believe the Bible than the stuff that you read on the internet. Now, why am I saying all of this? I'm saying it because it's taking a lot of effort for us to put our faith in words that men wrote 2,000 years ago about a God that has never been seen. Am I right? So do you see why Hebrews 11:6 is so important for us to take to heart today? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because if we don't believe that God exists, if we don't believe that God is at work in our lives, then how do we have faith? How can we please Him when we don't believe in the one we are pleasing? How can we please Him when we don't believe in the things He is doing? It is only when we believe the Word of God and act on it that we become a reality in our own lives. It's only when it becomes a reality in our lives. We are a reality. We are the only reality that some of us know. But when we put our faith into action, it becomes reality in your life. You can't just say you believe something and not put word or not put action behind it. You can't just say that you're doing something and not put action behind it. It is faith that enables us to overcome the storms that we face. We saw it in that scripture as we opened this morning. And I'll get back to that here in a moment. But the thing is Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life if we allow Him to be. One thing that I wanted to look at this morning, there's a story that kind of came to mind. And, you know, it talks about our need for security. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that our faith a lot of times comes from our need for security. It comes from our need to see something happen, our need to put things into action that we see around us. You know, it causes us to miss some of God's greatest blessings. Now, I want us to understand that this morning, because there was a story about a prisoner of war. He was taken captive by the Persian army and was sentenced to death. And the general that was issuing the death sentence had an unusual procedure that he followed with those that were condemned to be executed. The spies and other criminals were given an option of death by sword, or they could walk through a big black door, but on the other side was the unknown. And one day, this general was asked, because after much great thought, this guy chose the sword. And the general was asked, he said, why would the guy choose the sword? He said, what's on the other side of that door? And the general said, freedom. He said, they can choose the sword or they can choose the door. And freedom was on the other side of that door, but they chose the sword because it was the known. rather than walking through a door into what they didn't know was to come. They didn't tell them what was on the other side of the door. And the general actually replied and said, "They always prefer the known to the unknown. People are afraid of that which is undefined and less certain. We gave him a choice. Behind the door is freedom, but few men are brave enough to take it." You see what happens in our lives today? You see the thing that we lock ourselves in? Faith, in a way, is like that. Faith is very much like that. The decisions that we make in faith are often undefined. They're often less certain than the safe and secure way that we choose. So where is our faith today? Our faith is in the known. Our faith in this world today is in what we see, what we can touch, what we can handle. The things that we have dealt with before, because it's comfortable, because it's certain. Are you pursuing what God has for you today? Are you pursuing that which God is calling you to today? I'm not saying, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that sometimes choosing that is wrong. But think about the man who was in captivity with the Persian army. He had a choice of the sword or freedom, only he knew it as a big black door and didn't know what was on the other side. How many times have we chosen not to follow something today? How many times have we chosen to pull ourselves out of a situation because we didn't understand what was about to take place? How many times did the unknown scare us so much that we had to go with what we knew? That we had to stick with what we were comfortable with? That we stuck with something that we didn't really maybe want to stick with? But, I'd rather die by the sword than go through that door, because who knows what could be on the other side of that door. I guarantee you that those men that didn't choose the door never thought that freedom could be the option. They never thought that they could go out into the world and actually not die if they just chose to walk through that door. They'd rather die by the sword than face what might be on the other side of the door. The way I look at it, you're going to die if you walk through it and there is something on the other side. You're executed to death anyway, right? So, which one should you choose? Yeah, that choice would be yours. There's nobody in the world that will not face a problem during his or her life. I'm just going to, spoiler alert about life right now, especially for the younger ones. You won't go through life without a problem somewhere along the way. If you go through life without problems, come talk to me. I'd like to know how you've done it. Because the honest truth is that not a day goes by that we don't face some sort of problem somewhere in our lives. But we can prepare for those moments. We can prepare for those difficult times. We can prepare by listening to God's word, by trusting him to fulfill the promises that he's made to us. And each time that this happens, we will know that he's real and that he can be trusted. Because God is not going to leave us in the midst of a problem without fulfilling the promise that he has already made. He never has let us down, and he never will. The reason we feel let down by God is because we choose not to follow what he's leading us to. It's like the man who was in the house and the house was starting to flood. And they came by and warned him and said, "Come on, let's go. We're evacuating." Then a few hours later, the water had crept its way up the stairs. Guy came by in a boat and said, "Come on, we're trying to evacuate." A couple hours later, he told him no. He said, "No, God's going to protect me. God will get me out of this." Well, he's on the roof, and here comes a helicopter and says, "Come on, this is your last chance." And the man drowned, went to heaven, standing there and asked God, said, I told people you were going to protect me and you were going to save me. He said, "I sent a car, a boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want?" But in reality, that's what we do. God gives us our ways out. God sends us something in our lives, and we choose to push it away because we don't want what God has sent. We want to look for a specific design. We want to look for a specific answer to our questions. And the honest truth of it all today is that when we do that, we miss the blessings because we choose what is comfortable. We look for specific answers in specific ways because we choose to be comfortable. Sometimes God just wants us to step out on faith. And what we don't realize is that when we do that, when we fully put our trust in him, when we fully step out on that faith, it's actually more comfortable than where we were. Because God's there and He's guiding us through. And it's a smoother journey, and we'll find our way through a lot easier because He's clearing the path in front of us. Yet sometimes we choose. That's not to say the paths won't cross again, but that is to say that we sometimes choose to walk away from what God is doing in our lives. Jesus faced many challenges in His life, but He was always the victor. He has complete trust in God. And in the Bible week, you know, in the account that we read today, Jesus actually gave the disciples a command, but He also gave them a word of promise to go to the other side of the lake. And as the ship left Capernaum, Jesus, who was weary, went to sleep. Now, this is not the story where Peter walked on water. This is a different account, but it's similar. Because the thing about it is that Peter actually had the faith to get out of the boat and walk on water too, while the others were cowering in the back. But what we see in this story today, while Jesus slept, the storm came up and the disciples, who were seasoned fishermen. Now get this, Jesus was not a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. He was raised in a family that was carpentry. Jesus was not a fisherman. But what did they do? When they began to get scared, while he slept, these seasoned fishermen who had faced storms on the sea before decided to wake him up and tell him that they were dying. They woke him up and they said, "We perish." And Jesus just kept on sleeping through the storm. He was confident that the Father would keep them and was completely in control. The disciples, on the other hand, were so frightened that they begged him for rescue. And when we look at the response that Jesus gave them of "Where is your faith?" what we see and what we know then is the real problem is not the storm, but it's the disciples' unbelief. It has nothing to do with the storm. This situation has nothing to do with the storm that was taking place. We all face storms in our lives. The reason that we call out for help, the reason that we cry out for someone else to save us, is because we've not got the faith in God that we need. When that faith is absent in our lives, how do we expect for us to be able to do anything else that the disciples did later on? Now, granted, this is before Jesus died. This is before they actually took over the church, so to speak. This is before they were performing the miracles and the healings and the different things. This is guys who had seen Jesus doing the work, but they were scared. Fear and faith don't exist well together. Because when you are fearful, your faith takes a back seat. When you are afraid, your faith seems to waver. When you are scared that something won't go the way you think it should, you begin to look for other options to get yourself out rather than trust to get through it. Now, I went to a funeral this past week, and one of the speakers at the funeral talked about that God didn't send them. You know, he talked about the boys from Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were in the fire, and how Nebuchadnezzar looked in and saw that there were four in the fire and they had only put three in. And he said this statement, and it stuck with me all week. It's really kind of, you know, it floored me to think about it at that moment. But what happened in that moment was that God's not going to go around the problem. He's not going to take you around the problem. He's not going to take you over or under the problem. He's going to take you right through the problem. That's where we lose faith in God. These boys knew that if they gave their faith to God, that no matter if the flames took their lives, they knew where they would be in, they would be ending up when it was all said and done, because they had taken a stand for God. All that Nebuchadnezzar wanted was for them to say, "No, we don't believe in God. We don't want to see God do this." And they said, "No, we can't do that, because our God is greater than anything you could throw at us." And God didn't meet him above the fire. He didn't meet him below the fire. He didn't take him around the fire. He met him in the middle of the fire, and he took him right directly through the fire because of their faith. The disciples could have gone around the storm. Jesus could have taken them around on land. You know, they could have swam under the sea. I don't know. I mean, they could have found many ways around the storm that was taking place in their life, but God was taking them right through it. And the only one that had the peace and the knowledge to know that was Jesus, because he was asleep and he was sleeping right through it. And there's many storms in our lives today where we are calling out for help. We're crying that we're going to die. We're in the midst of this trouble. We're in the midst of insecurity. We're going through all these difficult times, and Jesus is asleep on the boat, and we think that he doesn't see us, and we think that he's asleep in our lives, and we wake him up and we say, Lord, Lord, I'm going to die. I'm going through a difficult time. I'm going through this difficult season in my life, and there's no way I'm going to make it through. And he's looking at you going, where is your faith? And today we have all got that question to answer. Jesus is asking us where our faith is. Everyone faces challenges during his or her life. How you deal with the storms is crucial in how you see life today. Jesus saw things the right way. Although the storm looked daunting, it wasn't. Jesus didn't see it as a problem. Why did he not see it? He saw something else, because there's power that is greater than the powers of this earth. There is power that is greater than the wind and the waves. There was power that he knew about, and the disciples looked around and all they could see was the danger. All they could see was the struggle. All they could see were the storm, the waves, the wind. They could see the rain, the hail maybe, I don't know, the lightning, whatever it might have been. They looked within, and what they could see was fear. But they failed to look up, because by faith, trust the God who controls the wind and the waves. Jesus, his eyes weren't on the storm. His eyes were on the creator of the storm. His eyes were on the one who had created the world and had full control over the wind and the waves. And Jesus looked up. Jesus looked up to God and he said, you know, we got this. And then he spoke. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves, and they listened. Very often our response to the problems of life is not that of faith, but of fear. We fearfully respond to the things around us. And fear is a natural reaction that we have. Fear is a natural reaction when we feel we are losing control. How many of us today, you don't have to show your hands, just think real quick. How many of us in here today feel the need to have control over your own life? I know I do many times. I find myself in that situation way too often, where I feel like I'm losing control over something that's in my own life. And the truth is I never had control to begin, because it's not mine to control. When things are not moving according to plan, when we're unable to cope with the work or the demands of life, or maybe when we needed to find help and we couldn't find any, when fear takes over, it prevents us from dealing with the actual problem at hand. When fear takes over, it prevents us from dealing the way we should. And even before we address the difficulty, fear has already crippled us to the point that we can't see our way through. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that not only should we trust God, but we cannot let fear paralyze us. We cannot be paralyzed by the fear in our lives, because when we become paralyzed for fear or by fear, we can do nothing. When fear paralyzes us, we stop. We start to doubt. I mean, I mentioned Peter stepping out on the water. When Peter became paralyzed by fear, what happened? He sunk. Peter was on the water and he was walking toward Jesus and he was taking steps in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, he became paralyzed by fear because he could see everything else around him. Folks, I want you to understand this. If nothing else you get from this today, sometimes the comfortable things of your life, sometimes the things that you trust in the most are the things that are going to cause you to sink when you're standing on the water because you're taking that step of faith. Sometimes the things that you have faith in cause you to lose faith in God in that moment. Now, understand me. I'm not saying that you choose that over God. But what I am saying is Peter chose to step out on faith and walk on water. Then Peter looked around and saw the wind and the waves and the storm. And immediately in his own mind, without even saying it out loud, immediately in his own mind said, I'm not supposed to be standing on this water. And he sank. How do I know that? Because he dropped. Because he didn't continue to walk on the water. He lost the faith that it took. Where is your faith today? We could pray to see God's great work. We could do many things if we weren't paralyzed by the fear that overtakes us. How many of us today are afraid of what God might be trying to get us to do? How many of us are afraid of the next step of our lives? You know, we could have been bold and courageous. We could have stepped into the promised land or experienced what God had promised us. Let's go to that story for a moment. Two guys out of everyone that went to scope out the promised land, two of them believed they could defeat the people in the land. Two of them believed that they could take the land that God had promised them. They didn't have faith in God. And what happened? An entire generation missed out. Because two men were the only two men who had enough faith to say God will provide what God has said He will provide. You got 12 men in a boat, scared to death, because they don't understand that the storm is under their control. Because God has their back. And you got one man who's asleep because he fully understands that they're going to get from one side to the other in safety. Fear can paralyze the whole army of Israel. Like I said, you know, for 40 days they couldn't do anything against Goliath. And then along came a shepherd boy who had just enough faith in God to know that he could drop a giant. Are we willing to remove the giants from our lives? In every situation we face, we need to know that the Lord is able and will help us. He wants to help us. He created us. And He wants to work with us to get through the circumstances together. We need to understand and believe that Christ can still calm the storm. And He can still calm the troubled waters in our own lives. I mentioned that He's not going to take us over, under, or around it. He's going to take us through it. And the reason He's going to take us through it is because when we go through the storm, we come out on the other side with more strength, more resolve, and more faith. Because we just saw Him take us through one of the most difficult times in our lives. So you lost a family member. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe you lost a grandmother or aunt or an uncle. Someone that meant a lot to you. You got through it. You're still here. And you're stronger because you had to deal with death. No, it wasn't easy. No, it wasn't what you hoped for. It wasn't what you would have planned for your life. But it was a plan that had to happen. And there was nothing you could do to fix it. But you got through to the other side, didn't you? We all do. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience. When I went through that moment in my life, when I lost both mom and dad, I realized exactly how strong God can be today. I realized how much faith that it takes to get through those difficult times. In every situation that we face, rest assured in knowing that we serve a God who still wants to help. John chapter 10 verse 10 says that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying this because what He needed us to understand is that He is the answer to all of our problems. And the problems we have in life are just like a thief. They steal your joy. They steal your good times. They steal things from you that you thought were rightfully yours. But Jesus says that He came to bring life and have it abundantly, meaning that it's not just a life that anyone lives. It's a life that's full of all of those things and more. But we also have to understand that we need to call on Him in our time of need. We do need to do what the disciples did. They had no faith. They called on Christ. Faith in God would have overcome their fear. See, they didn't call to God. They woke Jesus up. But in our times of trouble, if we have a faith in God, He's going to help us through. Jesus was physically there for them that day. We can call on God today instead of calling our neighbor, instead of calling our pastors, or instead of calling, have a little faith. Put your faith in God and see where He leads you. That doesn't mean you don't call Him and ask for prayer support. It doesn't mean you don't call someone and say, hey, can we get through this together? Because that is our job as the church. But what it does mean is that we have to have faith that God is going to get us through. How many of us today will sit there and say the words, I know God has a plan, and then we'll go and execute our own plan anyway because we know well how that one will end. We know where the outcome goes in our plan. You know, faith and fear cannot dwell together in the same heart. Faith and fear cannot live together in the same heart. With faith in God, we will no longer be afraid of what we do not know. When we put our faith in God, we're no longer afraid of what we can't control. We're no longer afraid of the things that we cannot control because there's someone in charge of what we have going in our life. And His name is the Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth. His name is God. And He has us in the palm of His hand, and no one can take us out of it. And He is in control of what will take place in your life. But it may not mean that He's going to take you out of the problem. It might mean He takes you right through the middle of it. It doesn't matter because He's going to be with you. He promises us never to leave us nor forsake us. He didn't just say that what God says is true. Jesus didn't just tell us that God was truthful. Jesus lived it out. He acted on what God said because it was true. He didn't just say, you know, God has our back. He trusted God to have His back. He didn't just say. He did. He knew that God and what He had promised was better to trust in than anything else that they could face in life. He knew that God had him. And he wasn't worried. So how in the world could Jesus lay down and go to sleep in the midst of a storm? He had no fear. All he had was faith. To know he was taken care of and he was provided for. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We've heard that verse over and over again. Well, the third thing I want us to see is that faith comes from knowledge in the word of God. Faith doesn't come by us hearing it every once in a while. It means to know it, to apply it, to activate it in your own life. Jesus activated God's word in his life. And until we do that today, Jesus was constantly in contact. I could go through a number of scriptures, but I don't have the time to do that this morning. But what I need us to see is simply this, that Jesus says that he speaks just what the Father has taught him. Jesus spoke directly from the words that God shared with him. And he did what pleased him. He did what pleased God. He was fully aware of what God has said. And in Luke 4:16, it says that Jesus came to Nazareth on the Sabbath day. He went into the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus went to church. Jesus found his way into the church building. Jesus made sure that when he went to town, he went where God was being glorified. In other words, every week he would listen to the word of God being read to in the synagogue and then probably at times reading it himself. Now, he was able to turn to the book of Isaiah and read the appropriate passage concerning his work. And this is no wonder that at the age of 12, when they had gone to town, that they had lost him, that Jesus couldn't be found, and he was able to discuss with the teachers and those who supposedly knew so much about the scripture. Jesus was right there in the midst of that conversation. Jesus didn't just hear the word of God. He knew the word of God. He was a reader of his Bible. He knew the scripture that was there for him. The Old Testament, Jesus knew it. He knew it front to back. I mean, that's evident. He quoted it quite often. It was his custom. He read the word. He studied it. He meditated on it. And he preached it. He knew the truth of God in his life. And we each one know it today. We know the truth of God, and we know that the truth will set us free. Well, the truth is that this word is truth. The word of God is truth, and we must know it today. Therefore, Jesus was fully aware when God was with them in the storm. He was fully aware that this was going to happen. He was fully aware that God had it under control, and Jesus laid down to take a nap. Wouldn't you love to have that peace in your life today where you can just lay down and take a nap because you know the storms are raging, but you have a God who's leading you right through it? In fact, what Jesus knew was the storm would rage, but they would be fine, and Jesus was going to sleep his way through it. No wonder he could sleep with such assurance and peace. But can we sleep with that assurance and peace today? Are there trials in your life that are causing storms that are keeping you awake at night? Are there trials in life that are causing you storms that are keeping you from being able to rest in the peace and comfort of knowing that things are going to be okay? Maybe your health, maybe your kids, maybe your job or your finances. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from seeing what God is doing. But again, I say, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now more than ever, it is vital that we follow in Christ's footsteps. Now more than ever, we simply cannot afford to cast aside our Bibles and expect to stay strong. We have to get in the word, folks. Where is your faith? It starts by knowing the word. It starts by understanding the things that God is trying to say. Read, listen, study, meditate on it, and then go out and live by it. Don't just come to church on a Sunday and sit here in this building and say you live by it. Actually live by it. Take those moments and let it happen. Just let life happen. And trust that God is getting you through that storm. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, there's a couple things in there. One, do like Christ. He went to the synagogue. It tells us that. He went and he heard the scripture read, and he paid attention to what was done. But not only that, it tells us to do that. And it says, and let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? What day is that? Now, I'm not saying that we have to be here every Sunday. Believe me, I'm not condemning anyone. But what I am saying is, don't forget that this is a family. And it's really hard for a family to exist. I mean, if you think about it and you break it down into this, I had a pastor friend tell me one time, he said he looks at it as a body. A cell can exist on its own in a petri dish by itself. It's a living, breathing organism, but it's nothing when you compare it to the body it came from. We can live, move, breathe, and go through this world alone, or we can do it as a family, as the body of God, as the body of Christ, as one body. You might be one cell in that body, but when you're put together, how much more powerful are you as a whole being? Rather than one little cell that can do nothing on your own. That's not to mean you won't try. Cells try every day to become something great. But just think about that today. We need to get to know God. We need to trust Him. Jesus said to Jairus, whose daughter was very sick, He said, do not be afraid, just believe. How many times did Jesus say that when He was healing someone? How many times did He have to say, do not be afraid? It's a command, not a suggestion, that He gave Jairus that day. Had Jairus not taken Jesus' words and put them into action, his daughter would not have lived. I fully believe that today. I fully believe that Jairus' daughter lived based on his faith. He had to have faith. Jesus said, do not be afraid, believe. So I tell you, when you go through a difficult time today, do not be afraid. Believe. It's a command, not a suggestion. The command is to act on what God is doing in your life. If we act on fear, then we are basically saying that Satan is bigger than God. Because when we act on fear, we're allowing ourselves to give in to the enemy. We're allowing ourselves to give in to what the enemy is trying to tell us isn't good enough for us. I mean, we can go back to the Garden of Eden and see where he invoked that. When he invoked fear in Eve by saying, God's holding out on you. It may not have come across as fear, but the thing is she was afraid that God actually was holding out. So she ate. Have you ever thought about it that way? Because the truth of the matter is that what we see in this is simply this. Our faith has to be strong, but fear and faith cannot coexist. Where is your faith? for us to have the faith today that we need to have, for us to have the faith that will move mountains, faith the size of a mustard seed. It's not that big. It's tiny, in fact. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And yet our faith is smaller than that because I'm not moving mountains. But maybe it's not a mountain that we see out here around us. Maybe it's a metaphorical mountain that's in your life. Maybe there's a mountain standing in your way and you can move that mountain today. All it takes is a little bit of faith and a little less fear. Let's get rid of it. Get rid of the fear. Trust in the things that God has called you to do. It's not that difficult. Maybe there's a mountain in front of you today. You know, as I wrap up, I want to tell one more story real quickly. It's about a young grandson. He was confused as to why his grandfather said nothing on the way out the door. But the grandfather had come to him and he had said, "Do you want to go with me?" You know, he was always enjoying the time that they had together. And he said, "Son, come and go with me." And the boy hesitated and first asked where his grandfather was going. So his grandfather just left. He walked out in silence and without answering and did not return for more than 3 hours. When he returned, the grandson was very confused and he said, "Granddad, why did you leave without me?" After another moment of silence, the grandfather replied, "Because you asked me where I was going. If you really wanted to go with me and to be with me, it did not matter where I was going." God's asking us today, "Do you want to come and go with me?" Jesus is saying, "Come and follow me." And too many times we're saying, "Where are you going?" instead of just saying, "Yes, Lord." I kind of envision it being like their grandfather, who, in the midst of the problem, he asked the grandson, "Where are you, come and go with me?" And the grandson says, "Where are you going?" So he leaves. Because he said to the grandson, and those words are very, very poignant to me this morning, where he says, "If you really wanted to go with me, you wouldn't have asked, you would have waited." Y'all remember the story in the garden? Jesus asked the disciples to go with him. And he says, "Stay and pray with me for an hour." And he walked away to go pray. And he came back and those men were asleep. And Jesus awoke them and said, "Could you not pray for an hour? Could you not stay awake and pray?" And then he said these words that I've never forgotten in my whole life, because my dad used to use it on me on Easter Sunday when he would get up to go to the sunrise service and I'd still be asleep in the bed. And he'd walk by me and go, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Folks, our spirit is very willing today. Our soul yearns to be with God. Our spirit wants to have that relationship, but our flesh is so weak that we get ourselves wrapped up in the things of this world. We get ourselves wrapped up in what we know rather than following the unknown. Our spirit is tugging us into that, but we're sitting there saying, "I just don't think that's going to end well." How many of us today are fully following the way we should? Do you know where your faith is? Hopefully it's in the Savior. If you don't know where your faith is, there's an opportunity to find it this morning. Please come and sing as we sing. Don't leave here not knowing where your faith is. But that's a question we all need to ask today. Where is your faith? Is your faith in the one who gave you life? Or is your faith in the things of this world, the things that you can see, the things that you can touch, the things that are leading you away from where it needs to be?